Good morning.
Good morning.
Right. Everybody well? All right. So before I begin, let's just pray. Father God, thank you for this time we have this morning just to hear your word. I ask God that you would encourage and challenge us through your word spoken this morning. May we leave here with greater knowledge of you and a greater commitment to know and to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so welcome to week 7 of Victory Weekend, or Victory Sunday. Whoa, what was that? All right, so we're doing currently in the series, we're tackling the big 5 issues. So generational curses, relational issues, we've already covered. Today we'll be covering spiritual errors. But before we go into that, just a recap on last week. Tawile spoke on relational issues, and she mentioned that there are certain destructional relational habits that people practice. So she mentioned grudges, bitterness, anger, jealousy, gossip, and isolation, all things that contribute to poor, unhealthy, or non-existent relationships. She also spoke about healthy relational habits, stuff like forgiveness, apologizing, and forgetting. I just want to make the point that forgetting doesn't necessarily mean you condone what's been done. Sometimes things happen that should never have happened. But forgetting means you don't dwell on it. You don't say, oh, every day, and I'm going to think about this. I don't want to forget it. I want to remember the pain. But forgetting is simply letting it go and not dwelling on it. So that's what we covered last week. This week, we're covering spiritual errors. Don't look so excited. Huh? All right. We're speaking about spiritual errors today. Anyone have any idea what we mean by spiritual errors? What is a spiritual error? An error within your spirit. You're just moving the words around. No, but we're going to unpack this today. So firstly, spiritual error is an ancient practice. So it predates creation. So that chap over there, we know him as Satan today, but he used to be called Lucifer, which means morning star. He was one of the most beautiful of God's creations, really beautifully adorned with beautiful jewels and all of that. And essentially, he was God's worship leader. So he had a really high position. And remember, this is before the world was created. And so in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, the Bible describes how Lucifer lost that position. So what happened is he became so impressed with his own beauty, intelligence, power, and position that he began to desire for himself the honor and glory that belonged to God alone. And that the sin that so corrupted his heart was self-generated pride. So because of his pride, he wanted for himself the glory and honor that was due to God alone. And so God kicked him out, tossed him out of heaven, and he became Satan, which means adversary. So it's similar to Pastor Mark saying, I'm so intelligent, I'm so beautiful, I'm so brilliant at what I do, I deserve the recognition and the privileges of the senior pastor. So I'm going to overthrow Pastor Roger. Then he gets a group of people together to try and overthrow Pastor Roger. And so that's what he did. So he was kicked out. And so that was the beginning of spiritual error. In Genesis 2, God completes creation. So all the aspects of creation that wanted complete, he finishes it up, culminating in the creation of Eve. So everything that was lacking, God provides. But then in Genesis 3, we all know the story of the fall. But before I go that, in Genesis 2:16, it says, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of any tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die.'" And so, creation's completed. Adam and Eve are in the garden, doing what one does in the garden, whatever that is. And God's given them every kind of good thing. But he says to them, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you can't eat. You can have of the candy floss tree. You can have of the free airtime tree. You can have of the whatever, all the other good trees that are pleasing and they provide for you, but you can't ever have of that. And so Satan comes, and Satan is represented by the serpent. And Satan says to Eve, did God really say that you can't have this? And I want you to notice what he does there. So this is the same God who created the world by saying, let there be. Right? So let there be light, let there be dark, let there be the stars and the moon and whatever. And it's created. So by the word of God, it's created. And God has said to Eve and to Adam, you can have of everything but this. So Satan gets Eve to doubt what God has said, you know, doubting God's word. And so they have of the tree, they have of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, and they become corrupted, and sin, as we know it, enters the world. So God chucks them out of the Garden of Eden so that they can't also have of the tree of life and live forever. So Satan messed with their minds, they got them to doubt God's word. And that was a spiritual error. In Exodus 32, we read the story of the Israelites who they've been delivered from Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea on dry land while the Egyptians drowned. And they now are in Sinai. And Moses is up on the mountain meeting with God, receiving from God the commandments. He's up there for 40 days, a bit of a long time to be up on the mountain. And the people are starting to get worried. You know, what's happened to Moses? Has he left us? Has he died? We don't know. So they say to Aaron, who is the temporary leader and the spiritual leader of the Israelites, make us a god that we might worship. And Aaron says to them, all right, bring me all the gold that you brought out of Egypt, the gold earrings, and they bring it to him, and he creates a calf. And he says to them, this is the Lord that's delivered you out of Egypt. Worship it. And they worship it, and they're singing and dancing and having orgies around this calf. And then God tells Moses about it. Moses comes down, he's angry, he destroys the tablets, and 3,000 people end up being killed that day because of the spiritual error committed by the people. So the point of that story, in the Middle East back then, the Israelites, although they didn't have the traditions of God as we know it post this point and in the kingdom of Israel and Judah, they were used to religious pluralism. So they were in a place where people worshipped many gods and worshipped the image of gods. And so what they were doing here was worshipping an image of a god. But God is not to be worshipped with images, because any image we make will not draw, or any image we make will draw more attention to the work of our hands than the God who made all things. Also, there's no way we can ever fully represent the holiness and awesomeness of God through an image. Any attempt to do this will always fall short. On top of this, God is a spirit, and we cannot form an image of a spirit. We worship God by believing his word, obeying it, and declaring his greatness to others. So not by creating idols. Spiritual error is also a modern practice. Any of you watch the movie 2012? Have any of you seen it? It came out in 2009. And essentially, one of the things it covers is what's called the 2012 phenomenon. And that was a range of eschatological beliefs. Big word, eschatological. Basically, what it means is beliefs about the end time, the end of the world. So the film is about these beliefs that of cataclysmic or otherwise transformative events that would occur on or around the 21st of December 2012. So the film includes references to this 2012 phenomenon in its portrayal of cataclysmic events unfolding in the year 2012. And the Bible teaches us to beware of false teachers, and that film is really just an example that in the world there are false teachers and there are false teachings. And the Bible says that we need to beware of false teachers who are like grievous wolves who enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Acts 20, verse 29. But there are also people who openly worship the devil. I discovered last night that there's even an official website for the Church of Satan. So this is a real thing, and these are real issues. People who openly worship the devil, and that is a spiritual error. Spiritual error can also be deadly. There was a man born in Indiana in the USA in 1931. His name was Jim Jones. He was a church leader and a community organizer, and he founded what was called the People's Temple, really a kind of a denomination of a church. And on the 18th of November, 1978, he, along with about 900-odd people, committed mass suicide, including about 276 children. And they took cyanide poisoning, and they all killed themselves. Jim Jones didn't take the poison. He actually shot himself. But he said to the people that day, "We are not committing suicide. We are committing an act of revolutionary suicide, protesting the conditions of an inhumane world." Yeah? So false teachers and false teaching can be fatal. So back to the question, what is spiritual error? Spiritual error is putting anything above God's word. So in the case of Satan, he wanted to put himself above God. In the case of Adam and Eve, they doubted God's word and rather believed the word of Satan. In the case of the Israelites, they put an image of God before God himself. So spiritual error is putting anything above God's word. So how does spiritual error happen? The three-way process, really. So it's to think wrong, to believe wrong, and to do wrong. So I thought in preparation I'd look up the meaning of those words. So to think is to have or to hold a particular idea or belief. To believe is to accept that something exists or that it is true. Something one accepts as true or real. To believe something is to accept that something is true. And to do something is to perform an action. Act or behave in a certain way, usually in line with what you think or what you believe. So, do you get a picture of how this works? So we think something. If we think it enough, if we believe it enough, then it becomes a belief for us. And generally, we act according to what we believe. Okay. In Proverbs 23:7, the Bible says, "For as one thinks within oneself, or as one thinks in one's heart, so one is." In Matthew 15, verse 18 to 20, we read, "But the words you speak come from the heart. That is what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you." So when the Bible speaks of the heart in those two verses, the Bible is using the Greek word kardia, or kardia. And one primary definition of that word is the center and seat of spiritual life. It's the soul or the mind. It's the fountain and seat of one's thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, and endeavors. So when the Bible speaks of the heart in this sense, it's not speaking about your physical heart that pumps blood to your body. It's really speaking about your spirit, your soul. The Bible's referring to your mind. And because who you are is not the body you inhabit. Now, you have a body, but you're a spiritual being having a human experience. You're not a human being having a spiritual experience. So, as a thought exercise, if I were to cut off your arms, would you still be you? If I were to cut off your legs, would you still be you? No? You say no? So what I mean is, the person that you are, like the person you're with, that person inside of you who you know you are, that person still exists, irrespective of all that exists of your body. And so it's only your torso. And so you don't have your arms, you don't have your legs. You just have your neck, your head, your neck, and your torso. That's all there is. That's your, but you're still you. You know, you'll still be able to think, you'll still be able to speak, you'll still have your character, your personality. So that's central. So when the Bible speaks of the heart, it's really referring to that core, that real you. Your body is simply a temporary housing unit that's housing your spirit, that's housing who you truly are. So this is why the Bible emphasizes the renewal of our minds. Because when that's corrupted, or when that's not in line with God's word, then we think certain things that leads us to believing certain things, that leads us to doing certain things. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. So we'll go into each one of these. To think wrong is to hold another idea over God's word. So examples of these are things like Marxism, atheism, which is a lack of belief or an active disbelief in God or gods, or humanism, which places human beings as the central focus point and believes in the essential goodness of people and in people's ability to solve problems. But the Bible teaches us that we are to see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. So these beliefs and their central tenets, if you will, are contrary to the Word of God, and therefore they are spiritual errors. And to believe wrong is to hold another belief over God's Word. And these include things like false religions, which either believe that there is no God, or that there is one God who manifests himself in various godlike forms, or who believe that you and I are gods, or contrary, as you'll know, to what the Word of God says. So these include things like religions like Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism. And along with Christianity, these four are the four biggest religions in the world, just to use the word broadly. And Acts 25:19 says that they were disputing with Paul about their own religion and about some man named Jesus who had died. But Paul claimed that Jesus is alive. And the biggest difference between Christianity and all the other religions is that Christianity teaches us that there's one God. Now, other religions do that as well. Christianity says that Jesus is the only way to God. Not through effort, not through following the Noble Eightfold Path, as in Buddhism, but repenting of one's sins and accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the other religions that teach contrary to that are false because they don't teach that. And therefore, believing in these is a spiritual error. Then we have cults like Jehovah's Witness or Mormonism. And these are what fall under the umbrella of Christianity. But in their beliefs, they're very different to what the Bible teaches. So both Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormonism will teach that there's no such thing as the Trinity. Yeah. So there are three distinct and separate entities, is what Mormonism teaches. Jehovah's Witnesses, some beliefs are, they reject Trinitarianism, the belief in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They reject that there is an inherent immortality of the soul, and they reject that there is a hell. So the Jehovah's Witnesses will claim that these are all contrary to what the Bible teaches. They'll also, interestingly, do not observe Christmas, Easter, birthdays, or other holidays and customs that they consider to have pagan origins incompatible with Christianity. And most limit their social interaction with non-witnesses. Mormonism is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's the most prominent branch of it. So Mormonism uses the Bible as a holy text, but also includes other texts that are considered equally valued. So that would include the Book of Mormon. And so, as I said, they also reject the belief that there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the Bible teaches that many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. I read a story yesterday of a pastor in Mexico, I think it's Mexico, who claims to be the reincarnation of Jesus and has millions of followers around the world. So these things are real, and these people exist. And to follow their teachings is to commit a spiritual error, because it's contrary to what the Word of God teaches. And then to do wrong is any action over God's Word. So that could include idol worship. So in the Roman Catholic tradition, and it must be said that not all Roman Catholics do this, but it is emphasized within the Roman Catholic tradition, Mary is given an exalted place within the Roman Catholic tradition, to the extent that some people will pray to Mary or will worship Mary. But the Bible teaches that Jesus is our access to the Father. No other way. So we don't have to pray through Mary or through a priest. We have direct access to Jesus. Also, idol worship. There are people who worship idols, man-made creations, worship these as gods. The Bible says, "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am a jealous God." Then there's also the occult. So witchcraft, believing magical abilities and powers that can be exercised by individuals or by groups who have the necessary secret knowledge. Or Satanism, the devotion to and worship of Satan, or also the devotion to and worship of oneself as a god, committing that same sin that Satan committed, wanting to be like God. Then there are Ouija boards. Everyone know what a Ouija board is? No? All right, so Ouija boards are used as something to communicate with the spiritual world. So these boards with letters and numbers on them, and words and a few other signs. And people use these to communicate with the spiritual world. So they'll kind of allow access to a spirit and ask questions, and those questions will be answered by words and numbers being pointed out on the board. And for those of you who don't believe it, it's a serious thing. It's a scary thing. I read a few stories about it last night. Really scary stories of what happened when people participate in this practice. The Bible says, "Let no one be found among you who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or cast spells, or who is a medium of or spiritist, or who consults the dead." And then unbiblical covenants. "Swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath." What I'm saying, I'm not saying you can't belong to any societies. What I'm saying is be wary of societies and groups that have you swear allegiance or swear an oath or pledge allegiance to anything that will take God's place as Lord in your life. So again, spiritual error is to think, believe, and do anything that is contrary to the Word of God. Just play a video that gives more info to it. All right, so what we're going to do now is, as we've done in the previous weeks, we're going to do a personal profile. And on this form, just a list of spiritual error practices. So for you just to mark whether it's something you feel you're completely safe from, something that has affected you in the past, or something that you are currently exposed to or practicing. Okay? All right, so what we're going to do now, as we've done in the previous 2 weeks, is we're going to pray about these things. So I'm going to ask you a question. I'm not just going to ask you to stand up. I'm going to ask you, if you acknowledge that in your life you've either been exposed to this or you are practicing it, and you're saying now that I want to put a stop to that, yeah, if you're serious about that, then please stand. So either you're saying, I have been exposed to this or I have practiced it and I don't want to anymore, or you're saying, I've not been exposed to it and I want to keep it that way. So if you're in either of those two groups, please stand. So we're going to pray about this, and we're going to go through this process. We're going to recognize the issue, we're going to acknowledge it. You've already identified it by marking it on the page. Then we'll repent, we'll turn our back on it. Then we'll renounce it, we'll break the agreement, renounce its power in and over our lives. Then we'll rebuke it, speak against the authority it's had in our lives. And we'll receive and replace it with God's blessing and God's grace. Okay. So let's just pray. And as you're standing there, if it's something that's kind of seriously affected you, pray where you are. Follow this process here. But let's just pray together. Father God, we thank you that we can come before you this morning and bring the issue of spiritual errors before you. Lord God, we recognize the practice, we recognize the way that it manifests itself, Lord God, and we acknowledge where we have been exposed to it or where we have practiced it, God. And we repent, Lord God, we turn our back on it, we ask for your forgiveness, Lord. We ask that you would set us free from any demonic force, any demonic power over our lives, Lord God. And we renounce the power of these activities and these practices over our lives. We acknowledge, Lord God, that you have overcome, that you have complete authority over any and every spiritual force. And we declare that these things no longer have any power in or over our lives. We rebuke its authority, Lord God. We rebuke what it's done in our lives. And we declare that it no longer has a place in our lives. God, we receive your blessing and your grace. We receive your forgiveness, God. We receive your healing. We receive you setting us free from these things, Lord God. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord God, that you have overcome all spiritual forces. Thank you, O God, that in your grace and in your power, these things have no power over us and we need not be afraid of it. Help us, Lord God, to live lives free of spiritual errors. In Jesus' name, amen. So now what I'd like you to do is crumble it up and then dump it in this hat and then have a seat. All right, so just in closing, for how many of you has this been a new topic, something you've never really been exposed to, that you're hearing about it for the first time? Okay. And so for everyone else, these are things you've heard about before. These are things you are aware of. Yeah. So I just want to stress that this is serious business. Yeah. These are really powerful forces at work. And to expose oneself to it or to participate in it is to invite some serious danger in one's life. So just to go through some steps on how to avoid spiritual error. So number one, read your Bible. You know, if spiritual error is to think or believe or do things that are contrary to God's word, the best way to avoid it is to know what the word of God says. So spend time reading the Bible. Make it a habit in your life. Read the word of God. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Every scripture, the Bible says, is inspired by God. All of them are useful for teaching, pointing out errors, correcting people, and training them for a life that has God's approval. They equip God's servants so that they are completely prepared to do good things. So make sure you have the word of God in your heart and in your mind. Get to know Jesus. The Bible teaches that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If Jesus is the physical image or the visible image of the invisible God, and it's difficult to get to know God in the sense that you get to know your friends or your family, you see them, you spend time with them physically. It's different with God. We don't see God physically. But the Bible teaches that God lives in us through the Holy Spirit. So get to know Jesus. Jesus is the best way that we can get to know God is better. And so spend time with Jesus. Then listen to your leaders. Listen to those in your life who are wiser, a little older, or are in positions of authority. The Bible teaches that he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors, and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so we all reach unity in the faith and become mature. Then we will no longer be infants blown by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and deceitful and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. This is those in your life who have a little more experience Heed the advice. Don't necessarily do everything they say, but heed the advice. Listen to what they say. Consider what they have to say. You don't have to leave now and say, I don't know what a Ouija board is. I want to find out. Then you go dabble in that a little bit. You know? Trust those who have and who have learned from that experience. Don't do it. You're inviting danger into your life. And then expose spiritual error. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. So if you know of friends or you know of people who are exposed to or practicing these spiritual errors, speak with them. Encourage them with the truth. But don't just let them participate when you know the danger involved with what they're doing. So expose these things. But do it in a spirit of love and truth, and not in a judgmental way. And then live by a new standard. The Bible teaches that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Commit to pursuing God with everything that you have. Let this be your highest goal in life. Make this your standard. Spiritual errors are not something we need to be afraid of when we know that we are in the will of God and doing the will of God. And we have the covering of God on our lives. When I was doing my research last night and I was reading the parts on Satanism and witchcraft and the Ouija boards, I kind of felt a shift in the atmosphere. It just felt a little bit colder, But I knew I didn't have to be afraid. And I knew that the covering of Jesus is on me. So when we live by that standard, we don't need to fear any of these things. Okay. So let's end in prayer. Lord God, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we could hear from your word about spiritual errors. I ask, God, that you would help us to commit to a new standard, Lord God. I ask that you would renew our mind, Lord God, as we spend time in your word and spend time with Jesus. Thank you for the power that you've given us, Lord God, to live in victory and to have freedom from spiritual errors and all other things, Lord God, that would take your place in our heart and in our lives. Be with us this week, Lord God, where there is spiritual error that we know of, help us to expose it in a spirit of love. And help us, Lord God, to share with our friends, our family, what we've learned, so that they might also live in freedom and victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, next week, we're dealing with the exciting topic of sexual sins. Ooh. So be sure not to miss that. Promises to be a really great session. That is it for today. There's about a minute left just to mingle and interact. But have a great week. All of the best at school. Work hard.